Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, it goes without saying that identity verification is a critical component to a healthy payment process. But for many SMEs in the gig economy, this critical step is often viewed as a complex problem with the potential to have exponential variables, leaving SMEs and participants in the gig economy feeling frustrated. Now, SMEs are no small segment of the market either, making up to 50% of employment worldwide. So the frustration of this complex issue is felt by a lot of individuals. So the question is, how do we fix this problem? So to help me understand the complexity of this issue and why it is an important one to solve, I have Zach Cohen, who is the COO at Trulioo, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot to learn on today's episode, so without any further delay, let's start the show.
So Zach and Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today as we're taking a look at the gig economy and then also the KYC process here and the importance of that. Now, Zach, I know that your organization has this really great chart that we're going to provide to our audience on paymentjournal.com. So for those of you who are following along, certainly feel free to take a look at that. But perhaps for our listening audience here, Zach, could you break down this chart and kind of really pull the takeaways, the key takeaways that our audience should get from it?
Sure. Thanks, Ryan, and happy to be here this morning. So what this chart essentially demonstrates is the growing influence and size of SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises around the world. And it's just an awesome, amazing thing to see because now it's making up a majority of the typecasts of the business and, more importantly, employment worldwide. And one of the interesting things that I think about when I see these kinds of statistics is the reality that we're facing today in the digital age. And what that means is it's never been easier to start a business. And so SMEs are exploding. From my perspective, what I like to then conclude is, how do we support that growth? SMEs, in reality, should have the same access to the same tools, the same capabilities. We need to be able to put them on an equal footing as their large enterprise counterparts so we can level the playing field and continue to grow that segment. And what that correspondingly allows for and requires is a similar secure customer experience for the consumers that those SMEs are dealing with. But this doesn't always happen. And these businesses are also, as they grow, susceptible to, you know, the typical fraud attempts or the burden of satisfying complex regulatory obligations around the world. And so we really need to bring to light the importance of how SMEs themselves can build trust online, can continue to grow. And from my perspective, a big part of that is how can they verify the identities of customers, of buyers, of sellers, when we think about the markets today that a lot of these SMEs are a part of, which is, you know, B2B, B2C, and even the C2C economy. So the graph shows us that the business model is changing, that the world is changing, and we really need to think about how do we future-proof those SMEs' technology stacks so that they can thrive in this reality today.
Yeah, that's a great point, Zach. We do a survey that goes out to small and medium-sized businesses on a twice annually. And it does show that they're stretched, right? They don't have the resources of a large company. And they're really not aware of all the resources that are available to them. And with the fraud that's taking place, especially during this pandemic and increasing regulations and just pure risk, they really could use services to help them better understand who their business partners are and who their customers are.
And that's right. And you can't blame them. I mean, when you're starting a small business and even as it grows, your 100% focus is how to make that the most lucrative, successful, and how do you service your customer the best way. And so you're absolutely right. We want to enable them to be able to have the same access and privilege without necessarily having to invest the same level of resources that it would typically would have taken traditionally.
You know, I think one of the things that we're kind of talking about here is really the gig economy as well, right? You know, we talked about medium and small enterprise business here. But in my personal opinion, you know, I honestly think with kind of a little bit of the downturn of the economy, you're also going to see a lot of this unemployment workforce starting to get more involved in the gig economy itself. So, Zach, from your perspective, you know, really, why is it now kind of the time for payment companies to get involved in this gig economy? And I think we touched a little bit on it with your last answer there, but I really want to drill down deep into this part here as well. You know, why is it that it's extremely important that we verify small merchants and contractors?
Part of the beauty of the gig economy, as I see it, is its flexibility and its ability to provide opportunity in difficult times like we're in today. So as an individual, you lend your skills and time when you can for how long you want to or are able to. So, you know, being able to choose in real time, you know, your own service provision is important and critical to the gig economy structure itself. But the challenge early on was to similarly compensate these individuals in real time. And so it doesn't make sense to withhold payment when the spirit of the gig economy model was instant, on demand, flexible, and in times of crisis or need. And so, you know, Ryan, when you're asking about payments companies and getting involved in that and how they need to verify the individuals or contractors that they're working with, naturally, from an innovation perspective, payments companies would want and have the opportunity to bridge that gap, right, between a traditional versus how we're seeing it operate today. But like we mentioned, unfortunately, that doesn't change the compliance obligations or the risks related to fraud in this environment. So, you know, for those that aren't familiar with the space, generally speaking, anytime you establish a new relationship where money ultimately will change hands, you must verify that that individual or that merchant is a legitimate entity. And that's a mandatory process most commonly. So not only did payment companies need to verify the small merchants and contractors, but it became more challenging to do so quickly. And so, you know, going back to your question about why is now the time for payment companies to get involved in the gig economy and how are they getting involved? The reality is that we need that to replicate that instantaneous interaction and transaction. And in order to replicate that and make the gig economy grow and what it is today, verification is a key part of that process.
You know, there's a similarity between cloud computing and its ability to scale rapidly or to cut back rapidly. And small businesses now have that opportunity with the gig economy to find experts and expertise in particular areas. And making sure you're getting an expert is one aspect of it. And the other one is being able to pay those experts so that you can ramp up quickly if you have a new business opportunity. And managing that individual's identity both in advance and when you have to pay them is critical. So it's giving the small businesses much more flexibility and scale.
You know, if we could, you know, Zach, I'd like to get to, you know, something you said earlier, obviously with, you know, businesses are very easy to start up. You're right. They're very, very easy to get going. And, you know, unlike traditional businesses, you know, small merchants and contractors don't necessarily have to be registered or incorporated. And obviously that's a good component to have when it comes to the verification process. So like, how does them not being registered or incorporated, how does that really make the verification process more complicated as you see it?
Well, you're right, Ryan. In the gig economy, the participants, you know, they come from all walks of life, you know, not often registered in more traditional systems, perhaps. You know, for example, might not have a long credit history or, you know, have taken a multi-pronged approach to starting a business, which could be just, you know, in your own name before you incorporate. All these different types of complexities or different choices, frankly, for when you are participating. It becomes interesting because when you don't fall into a standard bucket, yet those processes try and apply standard bucket tools, naturally, you know, the verification process specifically would be more complicated. And that's frankly the root of the issue. You know, what does everyone always say? That the definition of insanity, if you try and do the exact same thing, but you're expecting a different result. Well, when you attempt to apply the same business or compliance logic on a completely different use case, yet you expect the same high quality result, it just breaks down. And then, of course, we aggravate the situation because it will often then create manual intervention and high costs. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I think the other reason that's important to mention about why it can be difficult to verify these types of groups in the gig economy is that they are naturally global in nature, right? I mean, think about it. One of the most, you know, common gig economy you know, organizations that you can think of, Upwork, Fiverr, you know, Freelancer, these types of organizations that provide a marketplace for individuals and organizations to offer their services in a real flexible way, they attract participants from over 100 countries, it has to be. And each one of those countries would naturally have its own internal process of even creating a business license or, you know, becoming a legal worker. So not only do we have individuals and merchants' identities that are unique in and of themselves, not only will they come from different demographics or different histories, so they don't necessarily fit into traditional systems, but then the system even through which they operate or would even create, let's say, a business license, varies widely from country to country. So in the end, if you don't evaluate your technology toolkit well, if you try and apply the same process on a very different situation, the process overall and the result is just going to be exceedingly costly and not highly effective.
Yeah, I certainly think that's very interesting, right? And you know, Zach, I think you kind of really bring up that it's kind of an nth problem really out there in terms of just the geographies, the license type, like the amount of data. I mean, I can certainly say from my aspect, it certainly is kind of a bit of a problem on my end when you go to program and you're really trying to think through all of the use cases and you're trying to fit everybody into essentially a standardized template. And then you kind of get to the end and you realize that there can't be a standard. You can't have, and I mean, I'm thinking just in a very basic form of saying, hey, like this field is required, this field is required, this field is required, because in certain areas, in certain geographies, it may be that data is not necessarily required and therefore may not necessarily be there. And therefore that standardized or kind of templatized verification system really kind of breaks down because that data is just not available to there. And so I really think kind of what we're getting at here is kind of just like taking a look at verification as a holistic approach, I think is where we're kind of going. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but if it is this holistic approach to identity verification that we're kind of leaning towards in this conversation, what is it about that identity verification process from a holistic view that helps SMEs?
Right. And just to your point, Ryan, I don't think any of us today, at least, have not had an experience where we've seen up close and personal that complexity and how different it can be. You know, even just when you go, I mean, Canada and the U.S., Canada where I'm located, I mean, you know, we just go south of the border of the U.S. and things are just wildly different, even though, you know, the people generally are similar. I spent a lot of time in Latin America and it, where we operate our company locally, we have folks from all over the world that work with us. So it's one of the great things about the digital economy and the closeness of the world's communications today, but it also, of course, makes it incredibly difficult to satisfy all of those if you're not thinking about it holistically. And I like that word that you use, Ryan, because a holistic approach is really the best way that you can potentially solve all of these challenges. And so we just talked about the complexity of the use case and how unique each individual or merchant or system can be. So when you take a holistic approach, it is what makes it feasible. But what's important to understand at the same time is that holistic approach requires a map because without your map, you know, you'll spend years trying to, you know, A/B test or determine what process you need to use where. And so the holistic approach does make it absolutely easier to verify and serve SMEs in this market when you have a corresponding map on how to do it. And the reason that that is simply because when you have worked and experienced all of these different use cases, and you can integrate that into a single stack of technology, it allows you to apply the right tool for the right scenario at the right time. And, you know, from where I come from, our platform has seen, you know, hundreds of millions of transactions and all of these different types of scenarios. And so we also can provide that map that makes it easy for SMEs to launch and be able to apply a holistic approach with a, you know, a service schedule that will make sense for what their plans are moving forward. So if I am an SME and I'm launching, I say I want to operate in these 10 countries with this general demographic, you can have a plug and play situation there and implement a holistic technology stack that addresses them all correspondingly. So this is not, you know, it was a very difficult thing to build, but it's really been made easy to apply and deploy when you are an SME in this market.
Seems like there's three critical determinant factors here. One, the ability to identify individuals and entities that may not be large corporations with annual reports and the rest, and being able to make sure you can identify those down market individuals and entities that you're going to be bringing on or doing business with. And then there's the need to be able to make sure what you collect, to be able to identify those users, is significant and capable of meeting the obligations of all of the different countries that you need to be operating in. And then there's the need to package that up in a way and at a price level that meets the needs of small businesses and enterprises. It sounds like Trulio is accomplishing that.
And that's an important point. I mean, you put it quite eloquently. And so what I would encourage for any SME that's listening to this podcast is, when you are facing this challenge, those are three amazing and important parameters that need to go into your decision about who you choose to partner with from a technology perspective. And you need to be able to satisfy those so that you can focus your time on your business and growing it, and allow a technology partner to help facilitate and optimize your onboarding process, because it is a complex world. It really requires uniqueness in the approach, and the buying decision of who to partner with will be a long impacting one on the growth of your business and of your company.
Excellent. No, I certainly think extremely valid points there. Certainly thank you for those highlights there, Zach and Tim. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we've got for today. But thank you, Zach and Tim, for taking the time today, for speaking to me about SEMs and KYC and validation. So thank you very much, and I appreciate it. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Hey, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Ryan, Tim. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Ryan.